Greetings, I'm Brad Thomas, and this is Christ's Resurrection of Life, Body. Welcome. I'm going to be sharing with you today from the revelation of St. John the Divine. That is the revelation of the Apostle John, the revelation of God the Father to God the Son, which he gave to his angel to give to the Apostle John. And I'll be sharing from the passage of Scriptures, beginning with that listed as being chapter 6. So beginning with what is listed as being the sixth chapter of the Revelation. And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard as it were the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, "Come and see." And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him. And he went forth conquering and to conquer. And when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, "Come and see." And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword. And when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, "Come and see." And I beheld, and lo, a black horse. And he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, "A measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny. And see thou hurt not the oil and the wine." And when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, "Come and see." And I looked, and behold, a pale horse. And his name that sat on him was Death, and Hell followed with him. And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with sword, and with hunger, and with death, and with the beasts of the earth. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, "How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth?" And white robes were given unto every one of them. And it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season, until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs, when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, "Fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand?" Returning to the beginning of this passage, it says, "And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals." The Lamb, as if he had been slain, the only begotten Son of God. I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals. Only the Lamb was able to open the seals and to read the book inside and out. No man was found worthy to do so. That's including all of the apostles, all of the saints, not just those that are specified as being saints by the apostate Roman Catholic abomination, but no saints, no believers in the Lord, no disciples of God and no apostles of God, no prophets of God were found worthy. Only Jesus the Christ. And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, the first seal. And I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder. One of the four beasts saying, "Come and see." I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder. One of the four beasts saying, "Come and see." So it's not a matter of the sound of thunder preceding the beast saying, "Come and see." Not to say that that couldn't be the case, but that is not what is described here. Instead, it is that the voice of the beast, and this is a good beast, that the voice of the beast is as thunder. And this beast says, "Come and see." Amazing, really. You know, here we have this picture of God Almighty, God the Father, on his throne. And he is surrounded by four beasts. Not men, not angels, but beasts. It doesn't say that they are seraphs. It doesn't say that they are cherubs, but beasts. But then what are seraphs and what are cherubs? But amazing honor bestowed upon these beasts. And these beasts speak. They speak with voices, but voices that are as thunder. And this beast says, "Come and see." And I saw, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat on him had a bow, not a rainbow, but a battle bow. And he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. And when he had opened the second seal, when the Lamb had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, "Come and see." And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword. What's curious about this, it says here that it was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth. And yet, the first horse, the white horse, and he that sat on the horse that had a great battle bow, who went forth to conquer, wouldn't he have already been taking peace from the earth by conquering? All of the conquerors that there have been down through the ages, they have conquered by might, by battle, by warfare. It hasn't been peaceful. That's not what conquering connotes or implies or means. It's with strength and power and violence. But Now this additional conqueror comes on the scene and is given a great sword. And it's interesting because this is, in a manner of speaking, akin to a gladiatorial contest where the gladiators are given different weapons, one from another, with which to fight each other. And here these conquerors are given different weapons, a battle bow and a great sword. And peace is taken from the earth. Well, how long did peace reign on the earth anyway? Really? Cain murdered Abel when there were only four people on the earth. Cain murdered Abel. So, I don't really understand this. I have no doubt that there are many astute, learned, highly esteemed theologians out there who can explain this, but when he had opened the third seal, when the Lamb of God, when the Lord Jesus Christ had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, "Come and see." And I beheld, and lo, a black horse, and he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, "A measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny, and see thou hurt not the oil and the wine." So barley was only one-third the price of wheat. It was an inferior grain and valued at only one-third the price. But what is this about? The first two that have gone forth have gone forth to battle and to conquer with the sword, if you will, with what is associated with war. To engage in warfare martially with weapons. But here, this one that goes forth on the black horse, he's given a pair of balances with which to weigh these items that are traded, for instance, on the Chicago board here in the United States of America. Grains, as well as oil and wine. But what is the significance? What does it mean? It does not imply, it does not lead one to believe that it is speaking of waging warfare by starvation, by economic manipulation and these sorts of things, but certainly warfare can be waged that way. In the nation of Ethiopia, this has been a favorite way to wage warfare, to starve multitudes of Christians. This was done by the terrible, unspeakably evil creature who took the name Joseph Stalin to slaughter millions and millions and millions, notably in Ukraine and elsewhere, Georgia and so forth, in the monstrous communist slave empire, the Soviet Union. He used force, weapons. But then, having the people subjugated by arms. He used starvation. Perhaps it's referring to something like that. Perhaps. But when Jesus, the Lord, the Lamb of God, had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, "Come and see." Again, all four beasts speak. They all speak in the service of God Almighty. "Come and see." And I looked, and behold, a pale horse. And his name that sat on him was Death. And hell followed with him. And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth, to kill with sword, and with hunger, and with death, and with the beasts of the earth. Now, God Almighty refers to his four sore judgments, punishments. He speaks of them in any number of places in the Bible, but particularly in the book of Ezekiel. And what are they? Well, they correspond with these: the sword, war, and violence; hunger, famine; death, pestilence; and the beasts of the earth, noisome beasts. Perhaps when you hear the word plague, you think of plagues such as the bubonic plague, and so forth. But the term plague in and of itself does not refer specifically to disease, whereas pestilence does. Plague is used to refer to many other things, judgments from God. And we will see that as we continue on. But interestingly enough, again, these references to the white horse, the red horse, the black horse, the pale horse, these are akin to, directly akin to, those referenced in what is listed as being the sixth chapter of the book of the prophet Zechariah. Now, what is said is a bit different. But it's interesting that this passage listed as the sixth chapter of the book of the prophet Zechariah, again, corresponds with this book in Revelation, this book of Revelation, this passage listed as being the sixth chapter. I wouldn't put over much emphasis on them both being listed as sixth chapter, because those are man-made designations. But in Zechariah, it speaks of the following: "I turned and lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, there came four chariots out from between two mountains, and the mountains were mountains of brass. In the first chariot were red horses, and in the second chariot black horses, and in the third chariot white horses, and in the fourth chariot grizzled and bay horses." Again, corresponding to these horses mentioned in Revelation, with the difference being that these horses are yoked in chariots. But lest I go astray, moving on. "And when he," the Lord Jesus Christ, "opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. Slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. This has been going on since the Lord was here on this earth. His faithful, true servants suffering terrible tribulation and being martyred for the word of God, for the testimony which they held. Islam was fashioned by Satan, created specifically to persecute and destroy Christendom. But not satisfied with attacking, assaulting, and attempting to overthrow Christianity, Christendom, it also was focused on Jewry to prevent any others coming from Jewry into salvation. But it is not Islam alone that has committed these terrible evils. The Roman Catholic abomination has greatly engaged in this persecution. Greatly, mightily, monstrously, damnably. All communism has. Every communist regime has. Communism, fascism, which are both socialist, which are different branches of the socialist root tree. They both engage exceedingly in seeking to slaughter and destroy and annihilate and expunge Christianity and Jewry, as Islam does. And then other great religions, so-called great world religions, engage in that. But then there are other movements, cults, so-called, and so forth, which, generally speaking, do not engage in martial combat and such, but rather use subtlety, deceit, lies, deception to attempt to overthrow Christianity. But then Satan is the subtlest that there is. And he attacks the Lord Jesus Christ and his church from without the church and from within via Roman Catholicism, yes, but also corrupting and perverting Protestant Christianity directly within the ranks of denominations, but then also from without via cults. But these souls, this multitude of souls, of these people who had been slain, who had been murdered, who had been martyred for the word of God, and for the testimony which they held. They cry with a loud voice, "How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth?" It's strange that the wording here is so generic, so general, namely avenging their blood on whom? On those that have murdered them? You would think that on those terrible evil regimes and so forth, one would think so. And yet it just says on them that dwell on the earth. But goes on to state, white robes were given unto every one of them. And it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season, until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. Now, should can be misconstrued here, but it is stating that others, a great many others, will also be martyred. For the word of God and for the testimony which they hold. Until that should be fulfilled, these should rest a while longer. The American church and the Western church in the other developed Western nations have been awash with false doctrine, man's doctrine, man's dogma, with so many just deplorable falsehoods, such as this idea that, well, we are just so perfect, we surely are the congregation of the Church of Philadelphia. We surely are going to be spared going through any tribulation. When tribulation comes, we will go. We will be raptured away. What a terrible falsehood. Not just because it's false. Not just because it's a lie. But because it deceives people, deceives them into believing a lie and acting on that lie, being influenced and affected by it in terms of how they live their lives, even. And what they are prepared to do. Namely, what they are not prepared for. It is beyond excuse that denominations of Protestant Christianity have propagated such lies. Once saved, always saved, brother. Oh, the pre-tribulation rapture. We're going to be raptured out of here. All the others will be left behind, and we will make our escape. Wishful thinking, at best, conjured up by hireling ministers. Not really. These things are not crafted so much by man as by Satan. Satan and the wolves in sheep's clothing have persuaded the hireling ministers, the hireling pastors, into not only embracing these lies, but promoting them, propagating them, espousing them, teaching them, preaching them. Akin to this current rage, the Enneagrams, and other damnable heresies. But I beheld when Jesus, when he, the Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ, had opened the sixth seal. And lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. What is this speaking of? Well, of course, it doesn't have any relevance for us because we're all going to be raptured away. Right? So this has no relevance for us, no bearing, you know, on our existence. No, no. There was a great earthquake from God. You know, it is so funny, these companies, insurance companies and governments and others, the media, the major media, that are so dismissive of and derisive towards God Almighty and the Word of God. And yet, then when there are events, destructive events, that result in deaths of people, they are only too happy to refer to them as acts of God. But acts of God, but nonetheless, arbitrary, you know, just accidental things. Not judgments from God, and yet calling them acts of God. Well, guess what? Acts of God are judgments from God. They are not just some willy-nilly events. So it is ironic, their choice of wording. Of course, they also refer to them other ways. But acts of God is a figure of speech that is routinely used to refer to volcanoes erupting, earthquakes, massive fires, tsunamis, hurricanes, and so forth. But there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. The moon became as blood. Blood red. The moon. Oh, well, we know. I mean, the scientists can tell us about these things. That's just certain atmospheric conditions, and that's because of pollution and because of all these other things. Well, guess what? First of all, science is incredibly intellectually dishonest. But what particular combination results in the moon being seen as blood does not alter the fact that God is behind those things, behind the scene, causing that. It doesn't explain it away. Defining something or describing something does not explain it. But, of course, the wonderful field of psychiatry, if it labels something with a name, and if it then ascribes a definition to it, aha, well, they have it. They know it. They control it. They understand it, and so forth. Far from it. Psychiatry was founded by enemies of God, right down the line. Absolute enemies of God, rebels against God. And the fruit of psychiatry has been evil. Look at where it has been used the most extensively. Hitler's Nazi Third Reich, Stalin's Soviet Union, Lenin's before him, Mao's bloody red Chinese communist regime, and every communist regime. Also, of course, the current free, democratic, totalitarian regime in Russia. Not to mention evils done in the name of psychiatry in the free world. But I digress. These events that are foretold, a great earthquake, a massive earthquake. It doesn't tell us whether that earthquake is limited to one area. I happen to believe it is not. I happen to believe it will undoubtedly encompass the entire area known as the Ring of Fire, from New Zealand to the archipelago of Argentina. I do believe that. All the way around the Horn. From the southernmost tip of New Zealand all the way up to Russia, over to Alaska, down the western coast of Canada, and the Pacific coast of the United States of America, and then Pacific coast of Mexico, and Central America, and all of South America, down to the archipelago of Argentina. I do believe that. But it would not be limited to that, I don't believe. I believe it will include throughout the Middle East, throughout Turkey and Iran. Places like this that are famous for their earthquakes, but also Italy. Interestingly enough, the greatest volcanoes, variously referred to as super volcanoes and so forth, they are located around the world. Yes, in the Ring of Fire, such as in Indonesia, but also in Italy and places like that. A great earthquake. The devastation from a great earthquake can be absolutely unimaginably enormous and earth-shaking, setting off multitudes of volcanic eruptions and those of super volcanoes and tsunamis. But it doesn't say. It just says a great earthquake. And the sun became black as sackcloth of hair. Oh, well, it's just some little temporary eclipse, temporary solar eclipse, right? I mean, what's the big deal? Really? What if it's not so temporary? Right? Not to say that it would usher in an ice age. No, I'm not saying that. But what if it's not so temporary? What if the eclipse is not over in an hour or two? What about the eclipse that there was when Jesus Christ hung on the cross? which lasted at least 3 hours. But what if it is longer than that? 3 days, 3 weeks, 3 months. The sun became black. The moon became as blood. How much natural light is going to be given off when the sun is blackened and the moon is as blood? How much natural light will there be? Well, there may be a lot of natural light, right? A lot of natural light, because there may be volcanic eruptions continuing for who knows how long all around the world, right? It might be giving all kinds of light. But then something else that goes along with volcanic eruptions. If this great earthquake sets off volcanic eruptions, smoke, debris that spread for vast distances, right? Do you recall when these volcanic eruptions in Iceland occurred? And the smoke and debris circled the globe. But the stars of heaven fell unto the earth. Whoops. I guess there's not going to be any light, any natural light from the stars. None from the sun. The moon as blood. And the stars fallen unto the earth. And massive earthquake perhaps resulting in, very likely resulting in, massive volcanic eruptions covering the skies with smoke. But that is just the preliminary. What comes after that? The heaven departed as a scroll. Whoops. But I thought that eclipse, that solar eclipse, was only going to be temporary. Surely it would only be temporary. You know, what's the worst it could be? 3 days? Unheard of, but 3 days, you know, or 3 weeks. No, maybe permanent, right? The heaven departed as a scroll. Rather remarkable. Oh, but this is all allegories. This is all allegories and metaphors and poetic license. This isn't really going to happen. Or then we have other theologians who say, no, well, this already happened. Oh, really? No, this hasn't already happened. Look outside. This has not already happened. Oh, but it happened long ago. Whatever is referred to that was going to happen happened long ago. Or again, this great number of illustrious VIP theologians would say, no, this is all allegories, metaphors. This is poetic license to the nth degree. Or this is just a matter of God trying to strike fear into people to cause them to behave, or whatever all other interesting things they come up with. Of course, all this is just the word of man, not God, and so forth. You know, all manner of explanations, not just from professing atheists, not just from professing agnostics, not just from cultists and great world religions, but also from illustrious, highly honored, famous, high and mighty church leaders. But the reality is that this is truth from God. As Jesus said, the Lord God Almighty, he seeketh those who worship him in spirit and truth. Those are qualities that are hard to find. People that worship God Almighty and his holy Son, Jesus Christ, in spirit and in truth. They don't just blindly follow this Pied Piper and that Pied Piper. This great pastor of this megachurch and these campuses of churches that show his great services and so forth. But people that actually, factually worship God Almighty in spirit and truth, that do not blindly, ignorantly, foolishly follow this leader who is proclaiming to all that, oh, the return of the Lord is going to happen on this day of this week, of this month, of this year, at this hour. So divest yourself of all of your belongings and give this organization, this church, this organization, the proceeds and so forth. Or what happened. But, no. God Almighty seeks those who will worship him in spirit and truth. Very rare. So very, very, very many churches, forgetting the current situation with the lockdowns courtesy of Democrat politicians and so forth, you know, with reference to the coronavirus, COVID-19 pandemic. But so very many churches, they welcome all are welcome, come as you are, seekers welcome, seekers, meaning what? People that are genuinely, authentically, fervently seeking the truth of God. Guess what? If they were and they had read the Bible, they would already be saved. They would not be a seeker. Seeker is a euphemism for people that are seeking this or that, wishing for this or that, wanting this or that, but not desiring the truth of God. But the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together. The heaven is gone. The sun, the moon, the stars, the heavens are gone. Every mountain and island were moved out of their places. Interesting. Every mountain and island. How many islands are volcanic? How many mountains are volcanic? You go moving them out of their place, and what is going to take place? Massive volcanic eruptions throughout the world. Nowhere does God's word here say this is limited to Italy, or this is limited to the Caribbean Sea, or Caribbean if you prefer, or this is limited to this archipelago or that archipelago. This is limited to Alaska. This is limited to Indonesia. This is limited to Japan. Nowhere does it say that. Nowhere does it say these things are limited to any place on earth. Turkey, Iran, you name it. No. Throughout the world, every continent, all of the islands moved out of their places. What does that mean? Does that mean uprooting them? And if you uproot them, what happens? Let's just take an island like Puerto Rico for a moment. Beautiful, spectacular, unfortunately crime-ridden Puerto Rico, where violent drug gangs are engaging in great violence in the daytime on the streets of San Juan, Puerto Rico, courtesy of the police forces having contracted badly. But without getting off into that too much, but beautiful, spectacular, wonderful Puerto Rico, including Vieques, which unfortunately has suffered terrible pollution courtesy of the Navy, which has resulted in terrible, extreme high incidence of cancer. But I am digressing. So let's take an island. You know, you could take the Hawaiian Islands, if you prefer, or Tahiti, Fiji, or whatever, or in other parts of the Caribbean, the Bahamas, Bermuda, Virgin Islands, U.S., British, what have you, but Cuba, Dominican Republic. But let's take Puerto Rico. Lift it up off of the seabed, off of the seafloor, and move it. Move it just a quarter of a mile. And what's going to happen? It's going to sink into the ocean. Once you get just a short ways offshore from Puerto Rico, the ocean plummets into depths. This is true in so many places. So many islands have this same situation, if not as dramatic in terms of the short distance needed to move, they still share this. Bermuda, the Bahamas, and so forth. You move them out of their place, you move them a quarter mile, a half mile, a mile, and there will be nothing left of that island. It will disappear into the ocean, into the depths of the ocean. What does that imply might happen to the inhabitants? What if Japan? What of Japan? Is Japan an island? It's actually a string of islands, isn't it? What if all of Japan is lifted up and moved? But anyway, every mountain and island were moved out of their places. Every mountain. The entire Sierra Nevada range. The entire Rocky Mountain range. And so forth. Moved out of their place. This is not going to be a mild-mannered event. This will be something beyond imagination, beyond anything that Hollywood has dreamt up. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men So speaking of all the VIPs, and then goes on to say, and every bondman, every servant, every slave, every indentured servant, every bondman and every free man, all men. So why didn't it just start off by saying all men? But no, it gets there though, doesn't it? Every free man, every bondman. Guess what? That's all mankind. They will hide themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains. And they said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. Interesting. All of this vast multitude of world population, everybody on the face of the earth gets religion, right? How can you say that? That's ridiculous. Well, they say, hide us from the face of God Almighty and from the wrath of the Lord Jesus Christ. That speaks of belief in God. The only way you say those things, hide us from God Almighty and from the Holy Son of God. Hide us from them, from their wrath. Hide us from them. That speaks of belief in them. They are now acknowledging, recognizing, confessing the reality of God Almighty and Jesus Christ. Will God count that as repentance? No. No. Hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath is come. And who shall be able to stand? The great day of his wrath. Who told them about that? Well, it's rather interesting, isn't it? Oh, but brother, we won't be there. We will have been raptured away. We won't be there. None of us, none of we churchgoers will be there. None of we church attenders will be there. None of we deacons and elders will be there. None of we choir members will be there. None of we pastors will be there. And evangelists, televangelists, denominational leaders, we will have been raptured away. Again, that is known as wishful thinking. And it is in accord with the lies of hireling ministers who have believed the lies or embraced the lies, propagated the lies that were fashioned by Satan, the enemy of God, the enemy of Christ. Heavenly Father, Holy God, Lord and King, Master, Savior, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be he who cometh in the name of the Lord in spirit and truth, in word and deed, in power and might. Even so, come, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Come quickly and account us worthy to stand before thee at thy coming, and to serve thee forever, to worship and honor and glorify thee, to give our obedience to thee, and not to fail thee. Even though obeying thee, honoring thee, glorifying thee, testifying, witnessing to thee, and refusing to deny thee will lead to our death. better that than to be with these, hiding in the dens and the rocks, hoping they can hide from God Almighty and the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord God Almighty, have thy way. Be magnified from the border of Israel. Take thy power to thee, rule and reign. O glory, praise, thanksgiving, worship be thine only in Jesus' holy name. Soon coming King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen.